Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more and find the store nearest to you.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Food Without Borders on Heritage Radio Network. This is a show about food, politics, and identity. I am your host, Sari Kamen, and thanks for tuning in. If you're listening live, this is our new time slot, which is 7 p.m., although we're running a little late today, but pretend like it's 7 p.m. and you're listening live. So I have two guests in studio with me today. I have Rafa Garcia Febles. He is a bartender and a former Rum ambassador for Puerto Rico. And I also have Alicia Kennedy. She's a food and beverage writer. And she recently produced an event that raised money for Serve PR, which is an organization helping raise funds for Puerto Rico. I'm sure many of you know of the recent hurricane that basically decimated Puerto Rico. And Alicia's been working really hard to help with efforts for getting food and other resources over there. So welcome to the show, Alicia and Rafa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on today. Rafa, you're from Puerto Rico, which is one of the reasons you're here today.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about like where you're from? And
I stole someone else's job tonight by coming here.
Okay.
No. So I grew up in Puerto Rico, first 18 or so years of my life. My family is from there. My parents still live there. My extended family lives there. We've lived there for going back to the 1500s in some cases. It's just where we're from. I'm a pretty pale guy, so people always ask me, okay, but where are your parents really from? And my answer is always, well, it's actually Puerto Rico. People don't necessarily have a very formed opinion or view of what the island is, but if they do, it tends to be flatter and less dimensional than the actual thing. I suppose I end up being like a kind of ambassador of that in a lot of ways in my life.
Like not just through the rum connection, but
in
other ways as well.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia, what's your connection to Puerto Rico?
My paternal grandmother is from the island, but my real connection has just been writing about food and drink, mostly in San Juan, for the last 2.5 years.
And can you kind of, for those, I don't know, who haven't been following the news as closely, kind of like bring us up to speed with what happened with the hurricane and where things are?
Well,
where they stand?
It seems that agriculture has been completely decimated. Chefs are cooking, but we don't know how long they'll be able to keep doing that if the supply chain doesn't change. And this is only in San Juan. Outside of that area, everything is basically destroyed from what I'm hearing.
Right. Communications are still down in a lot of the island.
Are you able to communicate with your family at this point?
Yes. My parents are in the metropolitan area around San Juan. I'm lucky enough to almost always be able to reach them at this point, though the few days after the hurricane hit were rough. I'm very lucky in that everybody in my family, for the most part, is safe. They're doing about as well as can be expected under the circumstances.
Same with all your people that you know over there, Alicia?
Well, everyone I know is basically in San Juan, so yes, mm-hmm. They're good.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about, like, both individually and collectively, like, what kind of efforts you guys have been working on to raise money and help support.
Well, I was put in a group on Facebook right after the hurricane for trying to figure out how to help out-of-work hospitality workers on the island. And through that, we basically organized the fundraiser last Saturday that happened at the Brooklyn Kitchen. We had Chef Maria Grubb, who is the executive chef at Gallo Negro in Santurce, which is a neighborhood in San Juan. And she came up from Florida, where she was kind of stranded following a wedding. And she cooked. We got food from the Union Square Green Market that was all donated by farmers. Union Market was a sponsor, so it was Q Drinks, Danku, then some Maestro Dobel Tequila was a sponsor. And yeah, we got a ton of people wanted to do raffles, and we raised $10,000 on Saturday.
That's fantastic.
And Rafa bartended.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Me and Roberto Rosa, two bartenders from the island.
Yes.
Yeah. Which for me, this was a very simple matter of Alicia reaching out on Facebook and asking if I wanted to do it. And I was like, yes, of course. Yeah. Anything I could, I don't, you know, I'm not a logistics person. I can't be on the ground over there helping packets of food be delivered, but I can at least make drinks for people and raise money that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've been doing. Last night we had a really successful, gorgeous fundraising event at a bar called Vaughn in Manhattan as part of the Going Up series, which is a series of pop-up bars for charity organized by a gentleman named BQ Nguyen. Last night's was all for Puerto Rico. It was me and I think 9 or 10 other bartenders, several of them Puerto Rican. One of them just flown in, Ivan Letier, from the island just like the day before. And it was so exciting to see him get to work and just see the incredible hustle and energy he brought to the event. And it was beautiful to see all of our colleagues in the bar and restaurant world come out and spend, you know, it was $10 a drink. And I think all my friends had tabs in the hundreds of dollars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you making drinks at these events that are like Puerto Rico themed or like utilize, you know, flavors or spirits that are more specific to the country?
Definitely. I mean,
and like what are those, for example? Like, I don't really know beyond sort of like a general idea of like what Puerto Rican food or drinks are.
No, of course. Puerto Rican food is a whole nother animal. I don't feel qualified to speak on it as a whole, but it's...
Well, you did grow up there.
Yeah.
You...
Okay. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Before the hurricane hit, small-scale agriculture, kind of locavore agriculture, had been coming back in a big way. This is something you can speak of much more, Alicia. But, and it's been really exciting to see. Last time I was on the island, I was speaking with a friend who works in the restaurant industry, who runs a booth at a place called Lote 23, which is just, you know, like a pop-up food mart, like a smorgasbord type thing. And he was talking about trying to work in indigenous flavors that maybe aren't available outside the island into cocktails. I visited a really fascinating, awesome bar called Jungle Bird on the island that devoted a lot of its menu to drinks from around the tropics or drinks in a tropical style from the United States, but also just gave a really local... spin on them using ingredients that I'd literally never seen before used in a cocktail because they're not widely available. I've only bartended really in New York and I don't have access to them. And it was so cool to see that happening.
Like what kind of ingredients are you speaking of?
Guinepa, so I don't know how to translate that, what it's called in English, but they're like these little sour fruit, almost like limes, but with a really like gelatinous body. They're really weird. I don't know why they're such a beloved treat in Puerto Rico, because like texturally they're gross. And the seeds are most of the fruit, so you know, it's hell to work with, I have to imagine, culinarily. But they had an orgeat, which is just traditionally just an almond syrup that they made with some local nuts. I don't even remember what it was, but they used that in their Mai Tai and it was bomb. Last night, at the the fundraiser, the Eat It Maria fundraiser on Saturday, I was trying to keep it really simple and basic and just do classic drinks of the Caribbean or just showcase the rum that Donku graciously donated. So I just made an old fashioned with their aged expressions, which are lovely rums that don't really need a lot of tinkering with to be really, really sippable. And a daiquiri, every bartender's favorite go-to drink.
Yeah.
It's pure refreshment.
So I think we've seen a lot in the news and, like, I don't know, maybe just in conversations amongst ourselves that there's been so much attention focused on Puerto Rico all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but, you know, more so than usual. And it just, it brought to light, like, how very ignorant most Americans are when it comes to sort of our understanding and misconceptions about Puerto Rico. I mean, even our president, not that that's in any way surprising that he would be ignorant and misinformed. But I mean, why, like, what are some of the misconceptions that you've identified in having conversations, and why do you think there are so many?
Well, first of all, people don't know that it's essentially a colony, even though we don't call it that. And I think that stems from our poor education, where we're not allowed to know that the U.S. government does terrible, evil things like colonize other islands. And I think, it all really just stems from that. And so then people don't realize that Puerto Ricans are citizens. They don't realize that Puerto Ricans are in the military, but also don't have the right to vote if they live on the island. So it's by design, I think, that we have no idea usually about Puerto Rico unless we have an actual connection to it.
That's so true. It just doesn't come up.
It never comes up, yeah. And I mean, I've written about Puerto Rico so much and for so many different outlets, and I am never allowed to call it a colony. Like, unless someone uses the word colonized in a quote, there is no... It is always changed. You're never allowed to make that suggestion.
Oh, you mean like your editor just kind of slyly will change that?
It's a fact check, technically, but it's a fact check that keeps this colonial mindset in place, you know?
Right. That's extremely fraught, even from a Puerto Rican perspective. Mm. Like, I will plainly call it a colony, but I'm going to get some angry text messages from family members about that. I think that's a very good point, that it's by design, that we're sort of hidden and occluded and liminal to the main U.S. That's just part of the logic of colonialism. It's, here's a base of resources that we can harvest, but let's not treat them as a main part of the body politic. Let's not fully integrate them into the cultural and civic life of the mainland.
That's like blowing my mind that, like, there's such deep-seated colonialism that it's, like, ingrained into copy editing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this watching the governor of Puerto Rico interacting with Trump, who the governor, Ricky Rosselló, who is not a politician I would normally defend. And in fact, one of my many resentments with the president is that I'm now called on to defend another politician I hate.
Oh, right. It's like when everyone's like, I miss Bush. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's another thing.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Right? No, you don't. But yeah.
But watching, I mean, Trump in Puerto Rico was so funny because funny is one word for it, but he just brought out all of these Puerto Rican officials and all these first responders and all these military officials and had them praise him. It was like, he brought out Jennifer Rubin, who's our non-voting representative in Congress. And I was like, you said some lovely things about the administration. Can you repeat them for the cameras, basically? And our governor is basically doing this servile song and dance thing where he just praises Trump continuously because he doesn't want to cut off the spigot of support. He doesn't want to end up like Carmen Yulín, the mayor of San Juan, who you know, was pilloried for having the temerity to say that we could be getting more help from the government while also just being a brown woman who, you know, dared to speak out against the president.
Yeah, he probably also didn't want to be in a Twitter war with him.
I mean, she had a great response. She's like, I'm out here saving lives. I don't care about this. She got invited to a phone call to coordinate efforts in Puerto Rico among administration officials, and she was a non-participating, non-speaking member. It was a conference call. She did not have the ability to speak.
Yeah, I want to hear more from her.
Absolutely. I think we will going forward.
I think so too.
She's going to be the
She's like, if there's a the star breakout star of Hurricane out. Maria.
Yeah. Every tragedy has a star now. So, yeah, right. She's it.
Yeah. Alicia, I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about what Rafa sort of started to allude to. I mean, the pre-existing problems of access and equality that are happening on the local level there with the food system.
Well, it's always been a problem. I mean, now everyone's talking about the Jones Act, and they did away with it, but only for 10 days. And this has been something everyone I talked to there has been saying for years needs to go away, because it requires every import to come in on an American ship and go through an American port, and this makes it so that, you know, bars don't have ingredients that...
So there were resources that came in on ships, but they were just stuck.
Well, this is before Hurricane Maria.
Okay. That,
even before the hurricane, this colonial policy made it so that everything that came in had to come in on American ships and was more expensive. And there were other laws that made it so that... products grown on the island were often more expensive than imports. So they were importing 80% of their food already. So to be cut off from the world and have its own agriculture decimated creates a massive, massive problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a surprisingly high amount of imports that they're relying on for, I guess, a colony that I would consider to be pretty fertile.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember I did an interview with a chef based in Isabela in 2015, and there was a hurricane that downed a ship at that point that was bringing over product like vegetables and whatnot. And that led to him having no access to like fresh greens for a month or something. And that's just something no one was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, when I was growing up, all the food I was getting was processed, was from the mainland, was canned, was Cheese Whiz. We're apparently one of the biggest consumers of Cheese Whiz in the world.
Why is that?
Right? I don't know.
That is so bizarre. I would just never associate that.
I've probably taken years off my lifespan just from eating like Cheese Whiz sandwiches as a little kid. But yeah.
I don't want to say ew, that's judgy, but like...
You can see. Yeah.
That's not being judgy of Puerto Ricans. That's just being judgy of Cheese Whiz, just to be clear.
The Jones Act. And when we say the Jones Act, we're conflating two different things. So I want to be a little more specific. It's okay. Merchant Marine Act of 1920. Had its roots in wanting to protect quote unquote American interests in the Caribbean right after World War I, when, you know, there was fear mongering about like German U-boats and what have you being in the water. But in effect, a lot of what it's been since its inception is basically a kind of a protection racket. It's just been a secondary tax imposed on Puerto Rican consumers, where the United States makes money by like basically making it hard to deliver things to the island. Mm. And that combined with other incentives and disincentives that have burdened agriculture on the island has made it so that we import a lot of our food. And it's not just, it's every agricultural product. When I was working with the rum companies of Puerto Rico, I learned that we hadn't grown sugarcane really in any real capacity on the island since the 1970s. Everybody was buying molasses from Guyana, from Central America. That's started to change in the last few years, which has been really a really welcome change for the island. But now, of course, we have this massive setback of just total devastation from this natural disaster that's also, in a lot of ways, that we're seeing a political disaster.
Yeah. So what's kind of like the reality now? Like, how quickly are resources coming in? And what's the prediction in terms of being able to recover quickly enough before, I guess, I mean, I guess the worst case scenario would be like a almost like a famine-like condition.
Yes. I mean, infrastructure, everyone is just, you know, you have to be able to get everything. There's so much stuff coming in that's not just not getting to anyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom described going to the actual port in San Juan and seeing all of the like, just piled up boxes of deliverables that, you know, there's been such a great response from people around the world and in the United States of people, everybody wanting to donate and send things. And that's wonderful. But, you know, there's no roads in a lot of places.
Yeah.
A lot of the trucks that are equipped to carry that kind of thing aren't in service, or people can't leave their homes to get to the trucks because they're in dire straits. A lot of the very remote places on the west side of the island and in the mountains just haven't been able to get them. Now that we have more of a military presence, which is a double-edged sword, but, you know, in this case, these are people who are equipped to navigate this kind of terrain, we're starting to see that some of that stuff reach out there, and there's some really good charities and foundations that are focused on the harder to reach parts of the island. But it's really just been an infrastructural kind of logistical problem. We have all this food arriving in the prosperous port area around San Juan, but how do we get it to the rest of the island?
We're going to take a quick break with Alicia and Rafa, and then we'll be back to talk about the chef effort that's happening over in Puerto Rico.
Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Whole Foods Market believes in seeking out local, fresh, and seasonal food, and in supporting local farmers, makers, and the community as a whole, economically and agriculturally. Whole Foods Market believes in food that is vivid and colorful, fresh and full of nutrients. Food that connects you to your body, the seasons, and to nature. Food that helps you do more, sleep better, and wake up happier. Found in over 400 locations throughout the United States, Whole Foods Market only sells food that meets their standards, which means no artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, or sweeteners, ever. Whole Foods Market believes in real food. Visit WholeFoodsMarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more.
You're listening to Food Without Borders on heritageradionetwork.org. I am your host, Sari Kamen, and I've been in studio with bartender Rafa Garcia Febles and food and beverage writer Alicia Kennedy, and we've been talking about the situation happening in Puerto Rico. So I've been following Twitter lately, and Jose Andres, the chef, has had an amazing presence there. The work that he's doing has really just been inspiring. Feeding people in Puerto Rico, just like becoming a one-man army and just getting to thousands of people every day. Why is it that our food leaders are more successful and more ambitious at identifying logistical issues and creating strategies and just getting on the ground and feeding people than our elected officials are, do you think, in your opinion?
I would say it's, running a kitchen is a logistical situation. So it's more like an issue of scale than it is of talent or like know-how in this sort of situation. And I mean, I'd also say that everyone in food has this natural inclination to take care of people that maybe politicians do not have.
Yeah, they like literally care that people are fed and eating well.
If you work in food, you want everyone to be happy. And that's really as simple as it is, I think. And that's why we see people in food step up so hard.
It's like all presidents should have to be waiters first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or chefs.
All people who walk in Midtown Manhattan should have to work in a kitchen to learn how to walk around each other.
Are you guys aware of any other, I don't know, efforts that have come together? Like, obviously Jose Andres is kind of like leading a movement, and I don't know who else is working with him specifically, but I'm sure there's other, you know, groups that have popped up or like specific chefs that you know of.
Right. Jose Andres has been working with Jose Enrique, who has the great restaurant in Santurce that is probably the most famous restaurant in Puerto Rico. And then a lot of people in agriculture have kind of stepped up. Tara Rodriguez Bessoa of El Departamento de la Comida is collecting seeds. She was in New York recently and was sending fresh food down from farmers in New York. Paul Lebrun at Grow NYC is also collecting seeds, so if anyone wants to be part of that effort. And they're also part of apparently a Queers in the Kitchen canning brigade that is pickling items to send down that have more shelf life but are still fresh, good food.
Pickling for Puerto Rico.
Yes, exactly.
This is my favorite thing I've ever heard.
Actually in New York on November 5th, there's another food-related pop-up where a supper club is popping up at District Social called New York Loves Puerto Rico, and they'll be raising funds as well.
Yeah, and tonight, actually, Loverboy, a bar in Manhattan, is doing a Loaded Tecate fundraiser for Puerto Rico. Started like just now, but it should be going into all hours of the night.
Oh, great.
Nice.
Yep.
Are you guys going to be involved with any other parties or, you know, fundraisers that are coming up, or do you have any ideas for any others to organize?
I'm sure it'll come up at some point. Right now I'm trying to get back to writing. Because I need to make money.
Fair enough. So you can donate more.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been gun for hire for a while.
Yeah. Speaking of donating, it's always confusing, you know, where to throw your money. There's a lot of different places, and it feels overwhelming. What was the organization that you're... It was...
Serve PR.
Okay, so what do they do?
They're going to be helping to basically maintain and keep a food and drink industry on the island and not have everyone leave. So because 30% of, 30% of the economy is based in... So it's really important that the people are able to rebuild their restaurants and bars and maintain a staff and that sort of thing. So that's what Surf PR is doing. Most of my friends have recommended the MariaFund.org to donate to.
MariaFund does really good work. The First Lady of Puerto Rico has put together an organization called United for Puerto Rico that's getting a lot of publicity and seems to be like a very effective fundraiser. I'd like to draw attention to or suggest that if people can and if they're able to, unfortunately these websites are going to be in Spanish, that might be limiting for some people, but right now the west side of the island and the southwest are the hardest hit areas of the island, and there are some organizations working to deliver some of this food that we were talking about to those areas. One of them is called Mano a Mano Ayudamos a Puerto Rico, so like hand to hand we help Puerto Rico. And another one is Brigada Solidaria del Oeste, so like Solidarity Brigade of the West, which is an awesome band name if no one's taken it yet.
You should email me that and we'll put it on the show site for today. Yeah, and what about other ideas other than just donating, which is, you know, obviously the best thing you can do, but calling senators, anything else action-wise?
Of all people, Senator John McCain has proposed co-sponsored legislation permanently removing Puerto Rico from the Jones Act, which would be huge, not just for Maria, but for general Puerto Rico rebuilding. I'm not a scholar of the technical details of this, but the Merchant Marine Act is very much tied up in Puerto Rico's ongoing debt crisis, and anything that could help Puerto Rico economically, especially now, would be very helpful. Mm-hmm. President Trump made headlines for exempting Puerto Rico from the Jones Act, but as Alicia mentioned, it's only for 10 days. Ship travel is very slow, especially for container ships. That's basically nothing. We need to make that.
He did throw paper towels, though, to be fair.
He did go to my neighborhood and pull off a sick jump shot with paper towels. That
hero.
Yeah, that guy who said we need everything done for us while having like a small army of attendants.
You must have loved hearing that.
Oh yeah. Like nothing I love being told more than I'm lazy and ungrateful. And everybody I knew back home is too. It's all right. He might be a gesticulating blob made out of like 2 week old gravy, but, I'm the lazy one. Yeah.
No one has ever said that on this show. So glad that it happened.
We had points to make before I started dunking on Trump.
It's okay. Yeah. Where can we, sorry, did you have something you wanted to add to that, Alicia? Okay. So I'm sure everyone would love to follow you guys and your efforts and hear more insults like that, Rafa. what is the best way to stay in touch with both of you?
Are you on Twitter or Instagram?
I'm not on anything. I'm not just good old fashioned publicity stalking. At all. Yeah. Just stalk me. Come watch me bartend.
Where do you bartend?
I bartend at a restaurant called Covina at 27th and Park Avenue and 9 stories above it at a rooftop bar called Simply the Roof.
Ooh, that sounds swanky.
That's still open for another couple of weeks, bizarrely, here in
October. Oh, because it's the roof. And then you'll be down at Covina downstairs?
I'll be down at Covina full time, yeah.
Okay, great. Alicia?
I'm on Twitter. My name's Alicia Kennedy. And yeah, that's the best. That's the place where I yell the most.
The loudest.
And sometimes Lin-Manuel Miranda hears you.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. And then I spend a week freaking out.
It's very entertaining.
Put a fundraiser together. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Well, cool. Thank you both, Alicia and Rafa, for coming on and being so knowledgeable and for giving us the tools we need to help the situation in Puerto Rico. And thank you all for listening. Please go do something that feels helpful. Don't throw paper towels. Donate money.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Food Without Borders on Heritage Radio. Just like tonight, we will be at 7 o'clock going forward. So make sure to tune in at this time, or you can download the archived podcast anytime on Heritage Radio Network or at iTunes or at Stitcher. We'll see you next week. Listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.